This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Chris Brooks here, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Did you know that we are funded by the generosity of listeners just like you? This is one of 2 weeks each year that Moody Radio asks for your support. Please help by calling 800-600-9624 or give at moodyradio.org.
Please enjoy the following pre-recorded encore presentation of Equipped with Chris Brooks.
Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equipped with Chris Brooks. I'm absolutely thrilled that you've tuned in today. Why don't you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture with the biblical lens of the worldview on. Before we do that, though, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the word to the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, there are certain conversations that should be basic to an understanding of what it means to be a Christian. We don't all have to have a PhD in theology. I don't think the Bible, the New Testament writers anticipated that there would be that expectation on the lives of believers. But what we all have to do is have a firm grasp and understanding of what is the gospel. And today I want to have that conversation with you for two reasons. Number one, I want to make sure that you understand the gospel for the well-being of your own soul. You know, the Bible gives us some sobering passages throughout, maybe none more sobering than Matthew 7, verses 21 through 24, where Jesus says that there will be those on that day when he judges the quick and the dead who will say to him, "Lord, Lord, did we not know you? Didn't we do many miracles in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name?" And he's going to let them know that they did not know him. "Depart from me, for I never knew you." That's a pretty sobering thing, to have a false sense of security, a false sense of salvation. I think one of the greatest gifts that we can give to people is to have clarity concerning the gospel so that they can be sure of their eternal destiny. I want you to leave this program knowing where you stand with God. Be it in his grace and salvation or outside, I want you to know where you stand, because today could be the day that changes everything for you as you surrender your heart and your life to his lordship and receive his grace and forgiveness. But the second reason why I want you to have a strong understanding of the gospel is because we are called, compelled by love, to share the gospel with all. That we are called to share the gospel with those who are far from God, or those who are nearer to God than what they may even realize. But we can't share what we don't know or we have not experienced fully. And so today I want us to have a conversation, and it's going to be with someone who I love and appreciate and respect tremendously, D.A. Horton. He serves as assistant professor and program director of intercultural studies for California Baptist University. He's also blessed to serve as associate teaching pastor at the Grove Community Church. D.A. has been an author, an artist. He and his wife have traveled defending the faith, commending the faith, and serving the body of Christ now for many years. And I'm super grateful to have him with me to talk about his Moody published book, Are You Good With God? D.A., how are you, brother?
Hey, I'm blessed, Pastor. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Hey, I just want to start by giving my condolences more publicly concerning the passing of your beautiful mom. I know you dedicated this book to her. Can you just, for a moment, just give us an update on how you're doing in this season?
No, I appreciate that. On behalf of my whole family, just expressing gratitude for that. You know, it's been challenging. And the Lord's just in his grace and his plan for my life. You know, growing up in the middle of the hood, I had to deal with death, violent death, at such a young age and repeatedly when so many peers were getting killed. And my response to death is always, unfortunately, very delayed. And so, you know, my mother, she was called to be home with the Lord on November the 5th of last year. And then it really didn't hit me until Christmas that she's gone. And as the day went on, I realized I'm not going to interact. I'm not going to get a call, a FaceTime, or a text message from my mama. So that's when it really, really hit me. And so ever since then, as a family, my wife and I and our three kids, we've been trying to just process our grief because our kids have lost both of their grandmothers in less than a year. But the reality is we're in that tension that we grieve with hope, like what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4. But yet, because we have that hope of heaven, it doesn't mean that the grief of a human goes away. So we're in that tension, and we just plan to be walking in that tension until we see Jesus face to face.
That's real, and I appreciate that. I also appreciate your dedication to your mom. You say this, that she is the one who sowed the seeds of the gospel in your heart as a child and prayed for you during your years of rebellion. I think there's a lot of guys out there who's listening to us that can resonate and thank God for a mom who in many ways were the warriors, the prayer warriors that interceded on their behalf to get them to the place where they were good with God. I want to talk about this book, Good With God. And in many ways, it has its origins back in 2010. You were talking to a friend who said this, that the greatest need for our generation was a resource that answered the simple question, what is the gospel? Man, that seems so profound. Take us back to that conversation and what happened subsequently.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was with my dear brother, who's a pastor in the Hampton Roads area of Hampton Roads Fellowship, Miguel Davila. And he was the executive director of Reach Life, which at that time was the nonprofit ministry wing of Reach Records. And he had said that in a meeting while we were discussing what resources we could talk through partnership together, he said, honestly, man, the greatest need right now, Damon, for all the fans of the 116 Click is how to just wrestle and understand and communicate the robustness of the gospel that we draw from scripture. And so I was like, all right, cool. So I left that conversation and thought, what is the best way that I learn? And in acronyms. And so that's where I was like, all right, cool. So that's where we developed the acronym gospel. And so from there, it just, you know, we put it together. And the prayer was just, Lord, just use this as a resource that will help center people's walk and their belief on Christ. And at the same time, allow them to know how to communicate the beauty of the truth of the gospel while pointing to Christ with their lips and their lives in urban contexts all around the United States. So that was the goal. That was the prayer.
Has anything changed?
The goal and the prayer? No, because there's still breath in my lungs. So it's still all about centering Jesus in the midst of all things, because he's the anchor of my soul. And I want to see nobody drift away, you know, from those truths. Yes. And so that's where I'm like, I got to stay centered and grounded. So even with this, Are You Good With God? The biggest distinction is I take out a lot of the slanguage that it was written with back in 2010. And I also take out the rap lyrics, because back then I was still rapping. And so it wasn't centered on being a dual resource. Now it was more about, okay, let's just give somebody something in writing. And because slang becomes dated so quickly, let's think about more of a conceptual approach. So that's when Drew and Kevin and everybody from Moody was like, I think this is timely. So in the Lord's grace, here we are.
Man, it's timely for a number of different reasons. And you and I were talking before we came on the air about this movement, this deconstructing faith movement. I've done a lot on this by way of interviewing guests and discussions, blogs. I've shared that with you. But there are so many who in this season were professing Christians who are at a place now where they are saying, I can no longer affirm my faith in Jesus Christ. I want you to talk a little bit about that. And obviously, on a more, more personal level, many who grew up with the CHH movement, Christian hip hop, which was very formative in my spiritual journey, maybe are aware of what's going on with Brady Goodwin, the fanatic from Cross Movement, who just recently shared that after 30 years of ministry, he's stepping away from the faith in Christ. Those types of things, they rock you, in particular when it's somebody that you love or admire or appreciate or know on a personal level, but yet it's representative of the fact that this is happening in a lot of places. How does your book really speak to this current moment of deconstruction?
Yeah, you know, I think as we look at the characteristics of God, number one, he's immutable, so he does not change. Though we are made in his image, we do change on a consistent. So what one may profess today through a series of circumstances behind the scenes in their lives, you know, they begin to walk through a process of refinement of their thought, of their confession, even of their profession. One of the things that I'll communicate directly about Brady or Fanatic situation that I'm deeply encouraged by is the fact that he was very honest, very open, very transparent. I do know what he is talking about, where people's livelihoods, where if they're serving in ministry, if they're a professor, if they teach at a university, there's a certain creedal confession and a doctrinal statement that most people have to sign. And, you know, is everybody signing that in clear conscience? I can't speak for that, but I know the fallenness of humanity says there's a probability that no, people need to secure the bag, which means they need to worry about their finances first and their faith can stay privatized. And so one thing that I was encouraged by that is the fact that he was like, I couldn't walk in this contradictory pattern anymore. At the same time, with that confession and the renouncing of Christ, you know, I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater because, again, we are able to change and different seasons of life. You know, I'm 41 years old now, and the truths that I hold to in Christ that I've been holding on to since I was 16 and Christ is still holding on to me, my faith looks different now at 41, married for 18, going on 19 years with three kids. One's going to be in college next fall. It looks way different than what it did. I had a whole different set of responsibilities, challenges, and pressures and temptations at 16 than I do at 41. And so that's where I think over the course of time, looking at that question, are you good with God? If you're grounded in principles that come directly, theonoustos, breathed out by the God who is the author of Scripture, those truths will not change, though my circumstances, though my trials, my tribulations, my issues, my livelihood may change. It's about looking at that. And so helping people understand the essential truths of gospel proclamation, but the freedom that it brings us in Christ, it allows me now to walk in a newness where I can embrace who I fully am as a fallen human that has unredeemed flesh, yet the perfection of Jesus covers me nonstop moment by moment. So there's a freedom in that that I have not understood until I revisited the beauty of the gospel and Scripture at an older age versus when I was 16 years old. So that's where I think it's about understanding the truths that we ground ourselves in. And when we question them, we've got to keep wrestling with the text and we've got to look and consider all the different voices. But at the end of the day, there is an element of faith. There is the darkness of uncertainty that I've grown to appreciate at 41 that I just could not understand when I was 16, 26, even 36, because I felt like everything had to line up logically, perfectly in order for me to hold on to something. But then I'm saying, I'm trying to be God because I'm trying to remove the darkness of uncertainty and I'm actually removing the beautiful gift of faith from my relationship with God if there are questions that I just cannot resolve in my mind. But that doesn't mean that I hold to blind faith. That means I keep pressing, keep searching, and I keep being a Berean when it comes to both the issues of the text, my heart, my life, and the context and the ministry setting that Christ has planted me in.
Well said. Pastor, professor, author D.A. Horton is my guest today. We're going to take a short break, but as we lay out today the answer to the question, what is the gospel? I know that many of you that are listening to me might be either on that journey yourself where you are questioning, refining, or even deconstructing from your faith. I want to create a safe space for you to feel free to give us a call so that we can process through. Maybe you have a question on your heart and you're wondering, man, can anybody process through this with me? 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. Or maybe someone trusts you and loves you enough to invite you into the conversation of their own doubts, their own struggles, or questions about the gospel. Call today, 877-548-3675. We'll be right back, right after this. Forming your son into a man who can recognize a lie, resist it, and replace it with truth won't just happen, but it's a skill he can learn as you lead him. Lies Boys Believe is a lie-busting, truth-telling book, and it comes with a parent guide too. will equip you to train your son to love and trust God's word. These two resources are yours with the gift of any amount to equip. Simply call 888-644-4144 or give online at equipradio.org. If you have questions about the gospel, maybe doubts about the gospel, or maybe you're just in need of wisdom on how do I share the gospel, today is your day. Pastor, professor, author D.A. Horton is with me today to talk about his book, Are You Good With God? It's a small, accessible book that I think is perfect for getting the conversation going and giving a clear, cogent, and concise explanation of what is the gospel. And I think it's phenomenal for you to give to the person who's processing whether or not Jesus is worth following. 877-548-3675. Call with your questions, yes, even your doubts, or if you're in need of wisdom on how do I overcome an objection or answer a question or just journey with someone, walk with them well. 877-548-3675. Listen, I'm going to, D.A., ask you the kind of the headline question, which is what is the gospel? But then from there, I want to spend most of our time talking about how the gospel answers some of the big questions in life. Fair enough?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so let's start with a clear explanation for the person who is not familiar with the Christian faith. What do you say to them when they ask the question, what is the gospel?
Absolutely. The first thing I do is I want them to understand that the gospel is grounded in a story. And the story is what we see in regards to scripture. This is why I open up Are You Good With God with the understanding of the Netflix statistics that just went through the roof when COVID first hit. And so typically I'll communicate to people that God has written a story. He's the best screenwriter. And as even Dr. Bruce Ashford helped me refine these thoughts, is the fact that the gospel is the bridge that connects our story with God's story. And God's story is found in the totality of scripture. And there's four major plot movements with creation, the fall of humanity. Then we also recognize that God has demonstrated his love through the redeeming work of Christ. And then the final chapter, the conclusion or the final season, if you will, of the Netflix series of God's story is the new creation and where we spend eternity. And so the gospel then is woven through the fabric of that story, and it comes through the revelation of the main character of the story, who is Jesus, God in the flesh. And so what I communicate the gospel is the announcing of the coming of the work of Jesus, his perfect life. And literally that acronym gospel is how I explain it, starting with the letter G, that every human being equally was made in the image of God. It doesn't make us God, but we resemble him and we reflect him and the characteristics that he shared with us, that he gave us on a finite level. And those characteristics are the non-material characteristics. And so when we look at that, I tell them that at one time in human history, there was open fellowship with the entire human race and our first common set of parents, Adam and Eve, or the man and the woman in the garden. And the reality then is that there was no such thing as infidelity, adultery, suicide, cutting, self-mutilation, opioid addiction. None of those things existed, because none of those things were a part of God's design for the created universe and for us who were the human race made in his image to steward this created world, to populate it with more worshipers of the only true and living God. Sounds great, but that's not the world we live in, because the letter S says that sin was introduced through the rebellious act of our first father, Adam. And when sin was entered into the world as a foreign ingredient to God's design and plan, it has infected the entirety of the human population. Nobody has been exempt from that reality that has a common set of human parents. And so when sin was introduced, sin always comes with a penalty and a price. The penalty is death. And the price is the shedding of blood of an unblemished sacrifice. Then we move to the letter E, and the letter E is enter Jesus. He who is fully God clothed himself in full humanity, bringing those two natures together. And the reality is he walked in perfect obedience to the commands of God. He then volunteered to die in the place of sinners. And then his death was one that he volunteered after he received the full wrath of God that we have stored up. He was buried, and when he rose from the grave 3 days later, That is evidence that his payment was received by the Father and it was approved. And that now allows Jesus to open life everlasting, which is the letter L, to men and women of every ethnicity, social class, and space on the globe. And he uses followers of him who have embraced him as Savior and Lord to be the ones that proclaim the announcing of that message, the gospel. So that's how I answer, what is the gospel?
Yeah, what you just gave was a beautiful story, overarching narrative for what God has done from creation, again, ultimately to consummation, and every chapter in between. And I think that what people need to be very clear on with any story is, where am I at in that story? Where do I find myself at in the story? And right now, praise God, we're in a season of grace where God is offering to humanity this opportunity for our sins to be forgiven. There is going to be a day of judgment. There's going to come a time where we don't have this offer, this opportunity. So right now, while that offer is still available, where God is saying, I'm willing to forgive your sins and remember them no more, I'm willing to give you grace and the mercy and salvation that your heart longs for, I just want to encourage you to respond to it. I don't want anybody to listen to what you just said and just take it in intellectually. The gospel is to be acted on. Faith is an action word. Trust is an action word. It never is just intellectualized. And so the question that all of us must answer in light of what you just said is the question of, how now will I live in light of what you shared? What will be my response to the gospel? All right, we're going to take some calls, DA. I've been inviting people to call in. 877-LIVE-675 is the number. Maybe you have been struggling with your own questions about the gospel. Today's a safe place for you to call, 877-548-3675. Or maybe you're wondering, how do I share faithfully what DA just presented so beautifully? We want to talk about that as well. Let's go to Michelle, who's listening in Florida on Moody Radio. Hey, Michelle, thank you so much for listening to Equip. What's your question?
Oh, thank you for accepting my question. I would like you to tell me what, based upon the scriptures and the Bible, how a parent can have rest assured and have peace in knowing that their child, who professed faith and was a strong believer up until about the age of 17 or so, after they've passed on, but their older life did not, in their older life, they became disillusioned and discouraged and maybe backslidden, if that's a term that I could apply. How a parent can rest assured that their child is safe and is in heaven?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. And let me just say, as a parent who has lost a child, I sympathize with that pain and resonate deeply with that question. DA, there's so much that I think that can be said, but I want to start by saying this, that our salvation, the Bible makes clear in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, is a matter of God's grace and not based off of works. It is given by grace, it is accepted by faith, and not by works, so that no man can boast. That means that our works didn't earn us our salvation, and our works don't lose our salvation. Now, it is true that we know a tree by its fruit. The outward evidence to all of us, who there's no way I can know just by looking at someone whether or not they're a believer or in Christ or not. I can't know that just by looking at your skin color, your age, your gender, all those things. But we know a tree by its fruit. So there should be evidence of salvation. But what do we do with those who maybe are in a season of struggle, in a season of wrestle? What I have done in those moments is rest assured that Jesus says that all that the Father has entrusted to him, he's not lost. That if your child was entrusted to Jesus and put his faith in Christ, then Christ secures him. As D.A. said earlier, he's not just holding on to a Savior. His Savior's holding on to him. DA, anything you want to say to Michelle?
Yes, absolutely. First and foremost, again, offering my condolences in light of thinking through the pain of losing a child. It is something that I, in the Lord's grace, have not experienced yet. At the same time, I've watched my mom and dad try to walk and rebound from when my older brother died when I was 10 years old, and the challenges that come after that. The reality that we have wrestled through as a family, even when it came to my oldest brother and his passing, is that it was a constant, you know, reality of drugs, and some of the stuff that he was doing is unmentionable. And some of the stuff that he was doing, my family's never told me, because they don't want me to know the depth of his sin and the season of darkness that he was in. However, what we do know is that right before he passed away in a car accident that was by surprise, it was told to my dad that he had been going to church, that my brother had been walking to church, and he had been trying to get his life right. Similar story as it related to my uncle. But yet not everybody's story ends that way. And that's where I think Revelation 13:8 and 17:8 talks about, to echo what Pastor Chris said, is that the Lord and the ones that he would save, he already documented it. He has already said that his will and decrees would be done. So there is the assurance that a parent can have that if the Lord truly saved our children, then the Lord is the one who wrote their testimony. Yes. And at the same time, it is that uncertainty and darkness that we may have to wrestle with, that we may not be sure of 100% on this side of eternity. But
we're going to pick this up right after the break.
You're listening to a pre-recorded encore presentation of Equipped with Chris Brooks.
Welcome back to Equipped with Chris Brooks, taking your calls at 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-548-3675. We also have five complimentary giveaways for D.A. Horton's book, Are You Good With God? I think it's the most important question in life. So many are asking it. You need a resource that you can use as maybe a response. And I think his resource is a great resource. We're going to give away five complimentary through our social media platform. So if you want to get a copy, go now, Facebook or Twitter, and say, I need a copy of that book for someone I love, or even for myself. Now, if your name isn't chosen, you're not one of the five, don't despair. You can order a copy of this book. Find out ordering information by going to our website, equippedradio.org. That's equippedradio.org. Now, we're taking your calls, as I mentioned, at 877-LIVE-675. We were talking to Michelle before the break interrupted us. And so DA is back. Michelle is back as well. Michelle shared her story as a mom whose son has passed away. And the question is wondering, how can I have assurance that he's in heaven, assurance of his salvation, when the latter part of his life, he was raised in a church, professed faith in Christ, latter part of his life, there were struggles. D.A., you were giving the response. And before I pray for Michelle, I want to let you give a concluding thought.
Absolutely. The other thing I would say on a practical level is to allow yourself space to grieve, and as much as possible, have trusted voices with you in that space for grief. And don't feel rushed, and don't feel that you have to arrive at all the answers and conclusions, because this is going to be a tender space in your heart until you finish your faith, your walk with the Lord, and meet him face to face. But until that time comes, that's when I would help you to think through the scriptures of everything from the thief on the cross and how the Lord is always merciful, always ready to forgive. And we just don't know what the closing moments of your son's life and what his professions were. I know for a fact that I've seen family members live a life of rebellion up until their final days. And it's unfortunate that it's like, man, they could have done so much for the work of the Lord. But yet my heart is content in the resolution that they made a profession of faith. Yes. Do I want to argue if it's genuine or not? No, I don't, because I trust the Lord in all things. But yet I would think, as a mom, just having that grief, having that pain, allow the Lord and his body to bring comfort and mercy and presence with you in the midst of this space of grieving and healing.
Yeah. Father, thank you for a mom who, Lord, not only do you love, but you loved her son. And Lord, I thank you that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. I pray that you would comfort Michelle's heart today, that she would know that her baby boy, her son, is with you. I pray that you would give her that reassurance that those who have professed faith in Christ are secure, not because of our works, not because of our own good deeds, but because of the finished work of Christ on the cross. Lord, may she take comfort and confidence in that. Lord, I pray that you would use our sister as you heal her and as you give her grace, use her to be an encouragement to other moms, to other parents as well on this journey. Bless Michelle, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before we go to the another call, I want you to answer a few questions, and we can kind of use this as a rapid-fire round, maybe some short answers to big, big questions that we won't be able to fully answer. But how does the gospel answer the question of pain? Because there's so many pains that we've alluded to, of loss, of abuse, of hurt. For those who are living with pain in this season, heartache, maybe again, a survivor of abuse. How does the gospel answer that?
You know, I think what's amazing is the fact that God himself would invade our world and he would submit himself to the brokenness of loss and grief and all the effects that we recognize that come as a result of the fall of humanity into sin. That right there says that God is willing to not abandon, be distant, or basically unsearchable or unknowable in the darkest, lowest, most painful seasons of our life. Even as I was privileged to share at a funeral last week, you know, talking through John chapter 11 and Jesus communicating that he is the resurrection, and he is being bombarded by close friends that he built genuine relationships with that said, man, if you'd have been here, my brother would have never died. And so looking at the timeliness of God, it's unbeknownst to us. We don't fully understand the mind or the plan of God. And Jesus didn't rebuke them. He didn't shame them, but rather he continued to give them the hope of the fact that he is the resurrection. And when Jesus encountered the reality of the effects of the fall, he wept. And the text tells us that he was indignant. He was emotionally in turmoil. And it's not because he was angry at those who felt pain. He wasn't mad at the people who were weeping. He was mad at the fact that death, pain, sorrow, decay, disease, these are all foreign ingredients to the way that God's design for creation was to happen and be fulfilled. And so Jesus felt the depth of that pain. He knows the pain of abandonment because that's exactly what he endured while he was receiving the wrath of God on the cross. So the gospel tells me that Jesus does not abandon me in my season of pain and loneliness, that Jesus will never leave me. He will never retreat. And the reality of that brings hope and comfort that may not make the pain and grief go away, but it makes it more tolerable and it gives me strength to endure to the next day because he will still be with me.
877-LIVE-675 is the number. Author, pastor, Professor D.A. Horton is with me today. We're talking about the gospel, 877-548-3675. Question that we received in from Anna in Akron, Ohio, which I appreciate, is how does the gospel answer the question of forgiveness for those who have committed the sin of abortion?
I think the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus died for sins, and it's not as if, you know, one aspect of his suffering dealt with one sin more greatly than the other. Is the fact that all sin, Jesus dealt with it. And when we come to Jesus and express our sorrow, and we believe that all that he has done has beautifully eradicated and erased our rap sheet for every sin that we've committed, abortion, adultery, it doesn't matter what the sin is. The reality is that he forgives us. But the thing that we have to be better at in the church is communicating that this is not easy believism. Just because he forgives our sins does not mean that we are exempt from enduring the consequences for the rest of this side of eternity that we are alive. So, for example, if someone were to commit the sin of murder, if they go to prison, yes, they can be forgiven by embracing Christ the Savior, his substitutionary work, but they still have to serve out their sentence. Justice still needs to be administered on this side of eternity. So what we have to do is be better at communicating, yes, forgiveness is a reality by embracing Christ, but that does not mean that we are exempt from enduring and facing consequences for the sins that we've committed. So for those who have had an abortion and they made that decision, whether it's repeatedly or in a previous season of life, the reality is, yes, it is forgivable, but you serve a God when you embrace Christ that he will walk with you through all the consequences, all the residual effects, all the guilt and the guilt and the shame. He is communicating to you that he has removed that. So when God the Father looks at you, he does not see any of the sins that we've committed. He only sees the perfect righteousness of Christ that covers us. And that gives us the hope to keep pressing into God the Father, because we have an all-access pass given to us when we embrace Jesus into the very throne room of God, and he can comfort our hearts while we are enduring the consequences for past sins.
I think the beauty of the gospel, well said what you just shared. I think the beauty of the gospel is that not only are all sins forgiven in Christ if we confess and repent, but he literally invites us into relationship. I think, you know, there's a difference. We've all experienced it where somebody has said to us, D.A., hey, I forgive you, but I don't want anything else to do with you. I forgive you, but I'm not willing to embrace you. Just talk for just a moment, because we only got about a minute before the break, about what reconciliation looks like and what intimacy with God after sin looks like.
Absolutely. And that's where I love that God says that we still keep confessing our sins. The only thing that puts tension in between God and us as we're walking with Christ is unconfessed sin that we know that he's dealing with in our hearts, that we are just being too rebellious and stubborn to confess and deal with. This is why the Lord's Supper, communion, the Eucharist, whatever you may call it in your local body, this is why it's so important, because it's not just challenging us to have our hearts right vertically with God, but more so horizontally with interpersonal relationships with other professors of the body of Christ. Because even going back to the truth of the gospel, even dealing with a concept like racism, when we gather at the Lord's table, the nations should be present, both genders, the generations, those who have said, I am in a right relationship with God through Christ. And to the best of my ability, I'm working in a right relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So we take that means of grace of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine, with humility, but also with the understanding that this is a public profession that I am part of the universal church of Jesus Christ. And I think that is where we must lean in a little bit more and be more effective in communicating the weightiness, but yes, the blessing of celebrating the Lord's Supper in public together as forgiven, and we forgive those who sinned against us.
You know, you think about it, what the gospel offers us is both a savior and a family, that we are part of the covenant community of believers. It really is the answer to loneliness. And I pray that local churches will reflect what D.A. just said, a place where generationalism, genderism, racism, classism, those things are obliterated, because we recognize that we all find our unity at the foot of the cross in need of salvation and recipients of the mercy of God. We're going to continue to talk about how the gospel answers the questions of our heart, our head, and how we can share it with others. Phone number 877-LIVE-675. Join the conversation next up on Equip. If you're talking about a hot topic at home, at work, and with friends, then we want to talk about it too. In fact, every day on Equip, we're talking about current issues and how faith intersects with life. Today, I'm inviting you to become an Equipper. In this role, you'll give a monthly donation to support the ministry of Equipped. And as an Equipper, I'll send you regular emails that contain brief pastoral messages prepared just for you. Become an Equipper right now by calling 888-644-4144 or go to equipradio.org. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. And it's amazing how time flies when we're having important conversations about what the gospel is and how it not only saves us, but how it has the power to save those that are far from God, regardless of background, what your sin has been, how far you've been from God. The gospel is the good news of God's mercy and grace and the finished work of Christ on the cross that is able to save you, me, and everyone. The phone number, 877-LIVE-675, is the number to join the conversation. I would also want to take a moment to say thank you to all of our friends who support Equip. You know, we are only able to be here because of God's grace and your generosity each and every day. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't get a chance to say thank you to our financial supporters, those who pray for us and support us with their generosity. So to Charles in Colorado Springs, John in Chicago, Olive in Washington, and Tasha in Nashville, thank you so much for joining the Equip family and just being a part of the group that supports us and allows us to fulfill our mission of equipping Christians to more effectively live, share, and defend their faith. D.A. Horton is my guest today. We're talking about his newest book, Are You Good With God? And D.A., one of the things you have been encouraging folks to do is get a copy or two and walk with people through it. Just explain how you would recommend us using this in our relationship and evangelism with others.
Absolutely. First and foremost, a lot of the concepts and a lot of the language that is used in Are You Good With God is a result of personal conversations that I've had with people over the last 26 years walking with Jesus. And it's about compiling that and trying to see what was understandable to somebody who had no background in Christianity, to somebody who was raised in the church or a church environment, and they have said that they walked away or they never really were a follower of Jesus. And these concepts hit both people equally. And it's not about some magical formula, but it's about understanding the Word of God. That's where the power is. The gospel is basically the power, omnipotent power of God encapsulated into one message, one announcement. And the beauty of it is that all we are called to do is proclaim it. We are called to sow and water, but it's God who brings the increase. So that is what I want people to genuinely understand, is that the beauty of the gospel can be communicated to people in ways that they can understand as humans, and we step back, pray for them, and allow God the Holy Spirit to do the work that we cannot do. And that's my heart for the readers, that they would be able to glean from these words, these concepts, and they'll be able to understand the beauty of the gospel, and it will give them a greater appreciation and add depth and substance to their walk with God so they can be more confident in proclaiming God's message, not necessarily have their confidence measured by how people respond to the message.
Yeah, I love that. And the resource really just becomes a tool that we can use as someone trusts us and opens the door for us to have that conversation with them. You know, this is a little bit different than what is the gospel, but for those who are struggling with not so much trust in Jesus, but trust in the church, what argument would you give for why the church, the local church, is important?
Well, number one, I think we have to do a better job of understanding that the local church is made up of people who are professing to be followers of Christ, mostly. That doesn't mean that everyone is a genuine follower of Jesus.
Right, right.
But even those who are genuine followers of Jesus, we're still human, which means we still will make mistakes. We still fall into sin. That means we're going to hurt each other. I think the other thing we have to understand is that for a lot of us, our family of origin and the rhythms of patterns of life that we just naturally were ingrained with in our upbringing, that really does shape our personality. Our life experiences shapes our personality. And I think one of the things that we have to fight for is greater levels of understanding and togetherness as the people of God. Because when I understand somebody's story, I'm going to be less judgmental. But if I ask them, man, you know, I've noticed this behavior pattern, man. Like, you don't ever come and talk to me, but you talk to six people before you talk to me, but it gets back to me, but I have to initiate the dialogue with you. Like, what's really good? But then when I understand in this particular person, when I had to speak with them about that, man, they came from an environment that they never felt the freedom to go and confront the person they had an issue with. So then I said, okay, here's an opportunity. I can either cut you off, advocate cancel culture, which is completely ungodly, or on as human beings who love Jesus together.
I think your connection got cut a little bit, but I love that you remind us there of the gospel call to reconciliation and not just cutting people off. And I'm so grateful for you, just grounding us back in the reality that the church is not made up, even though we're called saints, we're not made up of perfect people. We're in process. We're being what the Bible calls sanctified. We're being set apart for Him but also becoming more like Christ every day. That's the journey we're all on. But I do think there is edification, there is comfort, there is strengthening, there is the ordinances that we are able to experience together. That togetherness is very, very powerful. And I just believe that so many people underappreciate that. And isolation has caused us to feel that we can make it without it. But I really do believe that it's needed. DA, we got about a minute left. Why should someone pick up Are You Good With God?
I think, number one, they're going to be confronted with the truth of the Word of God. You know, Moody Publishers did an amazing favor for me. Number one, they allowed me to include the dedication to my mother after the books had already went to press. But then they went a step further and they actually printed an advance copy for my mother to have personally before she finished her race with Jesus. And the last thing that a lot of people don't know that my mother did is after she passed away, we were going through her things and I found her most recent journal. This woman journaled for her whole Christian life from 1978 until 2021 when the Lord brought her home. But the last journal entry was 3 or 4 pages, and it was filled with her writing out every biblical passage found in the book, Are You Good With God? So the reason that I think people should interact with this particular book or any other book, because it's not just my book alone, but we actually direct people back to the scriptures, what God has said himself. And I'm telling you, there is power in the word of God. That's what Hebrews 4:12 says. So when we allow people to dialogue with God's heart by proclaiming the word of God, presenting the scriptures to them, all we have to do is stand back and let God do what he is going to do. And that's why I would say, Are You Good With God helps people get introduced to the scriptures with concepts in our day that they can understand, but yet the Holy Spirit is primed to do what he does. And we can give this out to anybody that's willing to interact with it.
Love and appreciate you, brother. I thank you for your faithfulness to serving Christ and the body of believers. Gonna be praying for you. And again, I wanna encourage folks, pick up your copy of Are You Good With God? I believe it'll be a blessing. And my recommendation is get a couple so that you can work through with those who are on their journey with Jesus. Folks, I can't wait till we're together again next time. Until then, remember as always that Equipped with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.